Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello everybody, I'm John Hindhoff and this is a real world road test across the Radio Show Limited network of channels. And today, the subject of our test is a car with which we will try to answer an age-old question. Can a track-focused, almost race car replica still be an everyday drive? The car in question, sitting in front of me now, rather menacingly actually, is a bright guards red Porsche Cayman GT4, new for 2022.
Real world road tests.
Well, let's just shut off the engine in our car for our real world road test in this episode and describe for you the Porsche Cayman GT4, the 2022 car. This is not the first car to wear that badge, not the first Cayman to wear this badge. So this is a evolution of the 718 body shape, which in itself is not too different from the 981 body shape. The responsible adult has a six-cylinder Boxster, which is not unlike the styling on this car, except for the fact, of course, it's been briefed on by the GT department at FLACT. So the biggest difference looking outside of this car are the aerodynamics at the front and the rear. Oh yeah, and the 20-inch rims and the bright yellow calipers signifying it's got the carbon ceramic brakes on it. The stance of the car with those aerodynamic add-ons is very, very menacing. It looks like it's sucking itself down onto the ground. There's quite a big splitter with the GT4 motif in it. All of the three grille apertures at the front have got the wire mesh across them, although why Porsche doesn't do that on the lesser versions, because as any Porsche owner will know, the rubbish that gets thrown up into there and the potential for stone chips on your the condensers behind there, the radiators behind there. And then there's another little slot here in front of the front opening for the luggage compartment. And I suppose the first thing we've got to say if we're trying to decide whether this could be a daily driver is, can that hole there be used sensibly? Well, I'll tell you it can. We go shopping about once a fortnight, once every 2 weeks. Now, there's only the two of us. But this front luggage compartment easily took the weekly shop or the fortnightly shop, and I could still shut the bonnet. I didn't have to resort to using the secondary luggage area, which in this car is a parcel shelf behind the driver's seat, and of course the rear storage area that it shares with the Boxster as well. In the Boxster, that would normally be under another cover, but of course it's accessed by the hatchback on the Cayman here. There's quite a lot of plastic under here, including if you want to get to the brake fluid, you've got to take out the inspection area or look at the top of the suspension top mounts, although you can fill the wiper, the washer reservoir there as well. So usable, yes, big square hole. You'd have to drop things into it, in fairness, but that's all right. Stops things moving around, doesn't it? Down the side of the car, the race car theme continues with 20-inch rims, satin black on this car. Quite a lot of black trim on this bright red, guards red, Porsche Cayman GT4. This car's got the option of the carbon ceramic brakes. That's hefty money. They are very, very good indeed, but it's £6,000 plus. The normal side intake for this version of Cayman is accentuated by a cover with the GT4 motif on it. The sills are a little lower to the ground. And at the back, the most obvious addition is a deck-mounted aerofoil. It's pretty big as well, and very sturdily mounted. You can easily lift the hatchback with it. Under that hatchback, the rear parcel shelf, slightly compromised by the fact that we've got a cage in here, as it is a GT4. There's aluminium treatment slightly further back between the two suspension top mounts there. But you can still use that rear parcel shelf, and there's a very handy and usable extra bit of storage space behind that, which is covered up when the hatchback closes with a little sort of tonneau cover there, which you can take off if you need to. Ducktail spoiler on the car as well. And then the rear bumper, underneath which is one of the biggest performance enhancing accoutrement to this GT4, and that is the rear under tray. This diffuser, along with the underbody aerodynamics and that rear wing, Porsche tell me they will create at top speed for this Cayman, which is a tad under 190 miles an hour. Well, all those aerodynamic devices will create about 122 kilograms of downforce. That's significant. Also, looks really, really race car-like at the back. It's all in black. Two black exhausts sticking out menacingly from under there, like two cannons from the wing of a World War II fighter aircraft. So the shape is pretty well known now to everybody. I think the dimensions of the Cayman work very, very well. There's no way I can even show you the engine because it's buried right under there. We joke about Eve's 981, that we know there's an engine there in there somewhere, but philosophically, if we've never seen it, does it really exist? It makes a nice noise though, doesn't it? Let's quickly, because you want me to be driving this car, not telling you about what it looks like, climb inside. These cars start, the GT4s, at the mid-70s, £75,000-76,000 in the UK. You can quickly notch up a lot more. We've got PDK here. Standard car is six-speed automatic. PDK is a couple of thousand pounds. Adds an extra ratio. I have spoken to one or two people who say that the ratios on the PDK are probably slightly better chosen. Second gear in particular is very long on the manual box. I suppose you pays your money, ticks the option box, and it takes your choice, don't you? The carbon fibre bucket seats, they are an extra as well, and they're quite expensive. There's an awful lot of red paint in here. That wouldn't be my choice. Strip right across driver and passenger side of the dashboard, down both doors, and on the centre console. The rest of the interior, if you've seen the previous versions of Caymans and Boxsters, it's very similar. I think only the shape of the ventilation has changed. Air vents across the top of the dash. All the other buttons are in the same place. There's a lot of leather and Alcantara. It's beautifully finished. The bucket seats, as I say, they won't be everybody's taste. I'm quite short of leg and long of body. I'm comfortable in it because we can move the steering wheel up and down and in and out. It's a two-pedal car, which certainly makes it easier. There's a slight lack for me of lower back lumbar support on these seats, particularly on a long journey. And getting in and out is not easy. I'm used to getting in and out of racing cars. There's a way of doing it. They are manually adjustable forward and aft, and it's electrically up and down, which I find a bit odd, actually. Electric motor, adding the weight of an electric motor to a low-weight carbon seat. I suspect it's because there's actually not enough room to put some kind of lever to actually raise and lower the seat. It is quite snug in here, a very race car feel to it, which is exactly what it is meant to be. As I said, getting in, not too difficult. Getting out, particularly if you're holding something, can be more difficult, particularly if you're not used to doing it. So holding the recording equipment and then trying to get back out again is likely to be a bit difficult. But I tell you what, I want to put the key back in. What am I talking about? You want to go for a ride in this. You want to hear that flat six, and you want to know what this Cayman GT4 is like on the road, don't you? All right, then. As you've asked nicely, let's get this beautiful Guards Raid 2022 Porsche Cayman GT4 out on the road for this RSL Real World Road Test.
Real World Road Test.
Right, so let's get some impressions of this Porsche Cayman GT4 out on the road in this Real World Road Test. Well, as you might expect from anything that's Porsche with the letters GT on it, this is a car that is influenced by motor racing and the track. And as you've heard from its exterior styling, it's no shrinking violet. The clever use of knowledge gained from the 991.2 GT3 in the chassis, coupled with the fact that inherently having the engine in the middle makes it a pretty decent package, means this car is always going to be playing with a few advantages over some of its rivals, particularly its front-engined rivals. The star of the show, aside from the chassis, is of course the flat six 4-litre normally aspirated engine. And whilst, as I said, the chassis technology and knowledge has been developed from the 991.2 GT3, not so for the engine. This isn't the same 4-litre, and in fact shares no architecture with that engine. This is a development of the Type 992 911, which is a 3-litre flat six and runs with twin turbochargers in the 992 range, up to the GTS at least. Now, adding an extra 1014cc means that the torque and power, which remain pretty much unchanged from the last iteration of this Cayman GT4, come in a little bit lower down the range and therefore make for a slightly more user-friendly experience, let's call it. The beast is tamed by the usual electronic stability control and traction control, but don't think for one moment that that makes it docile. The PDK box has a sport button on the centre console. There's also the ability to take off the stability control and the TC. Now, I suppose if you were on a track, you might want to do that just to explore the outer limits, but surely on the highways of public roads, it's better to leave them on, particularly on a little bit of a damp day like this. So what does it mean in everyday use? The question that we were trying to answer was, can a track-focused race refugee machine like this be a genuine everyday use car? Well, I'm cruising along at just under 50 miles an hour. The engine noise is imperceptible, but if I flick down the box, 3,000 revs, there's a sort of a turbine sound. Over 4,000 revs, it starts to come to life, and towards the 8,000 RPM rev range, then you really have, to coin a phrase, unleashed the beast, haven't you? 414 horsepower is by no means excessive for a sports car nowadays. Seems odd to say that, doesn't it, when my older Porsches all have under 300 horsepower and were thought of as very adequate machines back in their days. But this car, whisper it, is about 35 kilos heavier than the car it replaces. That takes it to a tad under 1500 kilos, and 400 horsepower in that is still a very potent package, as you might imagine. So, driving along at normal speed, just into a 30 miles an hour limit at the moment, the interior is cosseting, the power and the potential of the power is always there and always present under your right foot. So, is it the perfect daily? You've got all that power, all the opportunity if you did want to do some track days, and there's enough room to do the shopping in the front and rear luggage compartments. Well, yes, but, and I'm nitpicking because it's my job to do so, and full disclosure, anyone who knows me knows that I own Porsches and I run a 1994 968 Sport as my daily driver. And that car, with the ability to open the hatchback, flatten the back seats, cruise across continents with confidence, and to cruise across continents with confidence, that car to me is a pretty good compromise for everything. This car, all the latest toys, much more power, and a somewhat different philosophy, definitely. But with usable luggage space, only two seats albeit, but there is something about it that I have got to mention, and I don't think it is particular to this GT4 version of the Cayman, because everybody I've spoken to have driven lesser versions of the Cayman have mentioned similar things when I've had chats with them over the last few days. If you've got a 4-litre flat six engine rumbling away behind you, I would have no issue whatsoever if that engine noise was audible all the time in the cabin. Indeed, there'd be very few of us who bought a car like this who would think potentially that even if it was, dare we say, slightly intrusive, even at moderate throttle applications, that would be a major issue. Well, that's me accelerating from 40 to 60 miles an hour, and you barely hear the engine. What you do hear is the road noise. Now, 20-inch rims and tyres that are fantastic in terms of grip. Well done, Michelin, for designing the tyres for this car, but frankly resemble a black elastic band stretched around the rims. Well, you're always going to have some degree of road noise. But I think that space behind me acts a bit like a resonator, an echo chamber, and amplifies not the engine noise, but the road noise. And that does become intrusive, particularly on a long run. I took to backing off the pace on the motorway, even on some very smooth motorways, down to 66 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour, just to let that noise die down. And you might hear that I'm slightly pushing my voice a wee bit here, and that's because I do feel as though I'm fighting with that humming road noise that's coming from the back. Now, flex your foot on the throttle and it's replaced by a beautiful flat six burble. Also, flex your foot on the throttle, by the way, and you go from taking your time to license losing territory very quickly indeed. It's a minor niggle. It's an absolute minor niggle, but it would stop me wanting to take this car across a continent. Everything else about the car is magnificent. The performance of the engine, although on tickover it sounds, well, a little quiet, and dare I say it, possibly even a little tinny, particularly when it's cold, but once it's warmed up it sounds a wee bit better. Well, I'll just run it through for you and see what you think. Get a bit of clear road here with nobody on it so that we can accelerate safely. And I'll lock it up into second gear on the paddles here and then just give you an idea. If you can hear in the background now, it's almost a sort of a turbine-y whine. Now we'll push the throttle. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 revs, and it comes alive and sounds absolutely magnificent, doesn't it? But of course you can't drive it at 7,000 revs all the time. Alright, put that aside. Let's talk about how it handles the worst of Northamptonshire's roads, which are known in the UK for being among the worst. And I'm on a pretty warm piece of tarmac now. You can hear how the road noise has gone up, and I'm doing 45 miles an hour on this country road. The chassis engineers, once again, have done Porsche proud. You're always going to have to find some compromise in a car that has this performance. But the way that it soaks up bumps, you hear the bumps rather than feel them, if I'm honest. It can be a little bit crashy over the cat's eyes. Have a listen to that. And that again was 40 miles an hour. I don't see any discernible difference between clicking into sport chassis. Perhaps it makes it a little bit more nervous on country roads, but not too bad. The PDK, when left to its own devices, does all the right things, and you can control the shifts both up and down with judicious use of the throttle pedal. Of course, you can override it by flicking down on the paddles as well. Carbon ceramics, expensive braking option, but my goodness, do they work well and scrub off a lot of speed very, very quickly. I'd love to try this as the six-speed manual. I wonder if that I might find that a wee bit more engaging. I'd love to try it as the spider version as well, to see if that echo chamber of a rear parcel shelf, an area behind me, which I'm not used to in this size of Porsche. The 981 Boxster that the responsible adult runs with the top down all the time, and in some ways doesn't seem as noisy, certainly from road noise, even with the top down and with the roof up on that 981. It's nigh on silent. All you hear is the thrum of the engine. But as I say, minor niggle. As far as the rivals for this car is concerned, it's mid £70,000 before you start ticking the option boxes for a 400 horsepower, 1500 kilo race bred machine. Well, I think it probably sits in a category of one, at least till the last petrol Lotus arrives. Lotus will probably be a bit lighter, possibly even a bit more nimble. But even then, it's a slightly different proposition to this. I know, I haven't answered the question. Could you use it as an everyday driver? I think if there's just two of you, yes, you could. No room for golf clubs. So if that's your bag, pun intended, then you'd have to go and find something else. I suppose, actually, if you were on your own, you could put the golf clubs in the passenger seat. So I'll take that back. The noise of the engine, like any Porsche should be, is addictive, and you'll find yourself driving it between just letting it roll along and then back on the throttle. The electronics aren't too intrusive, so you'll probably want to leave them on, particularly as it is today on a greasy morning and the road's a little bit slippy. When you take them off, the car is massively communicative, and on a track day I think there'd be very few things that could live with a well-driven Cayman GT4. It's got stop-start. I've done just under 1,000 miles in a relatively short time, including a couple of 300-mile runs on mostly motorways. On those trips, 33, 34 miles to the gallon. running round, doing the shopping, going to the local fish and chip shop. Oh, and by the way, putting your chips in the fish and chips in the rear luggage space is great, because there's quite a lot of heat comes up from the engine bay, and that keeps it warm while you get back home. Contributing to an average over my time with the Cayman GT4 of just on 30 miles to the UK gallon. And bear in mind, some of that has been making lovely noises. I dare say most people would get that, so long as they weren't on track every week, they would get that in everyday usage. So there's that word again, everyday, daily. Possible? Yeah, absolutely. Compromised in some respect, yes. What's the phrase that Porsche GP used for this? They say it's a perfectly irrational car. I understand what they're trying to say with that. I think it's a very good all-rounder. It's beautifully engineered, of course it is. It's a Porsche. And the guys at FLACT, who look after all the GT products, have worked their magic again, bringing technology that they have proved in other models, and that engine, the development of the 3-litre, now at 4-litre, and future-proofed with the fueling ECU and the particulate filter for quite some time to come. It's genius. Right, time to now, as I've been driving very carefully because I've been talking to you, turn off the recorder and let this car do what it does best, and that is excite the senses and make you want to drive it, not just go for a drive, to drive it. And for that, I can't talk and do it at the same time. It needs my full concentration.
Another real world road test. Check out more at radiolemon.com. This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at radiolemon.com.